on this 8th day of June 2011 in San Diego. We are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, and we are in Text 41. Vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushakhayanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Translation: those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport: a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmaka intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 2262 states, Shraddha shabde vishvas kohe sudridha nishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva, Krishna, is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student, and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows: Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. Dhyayans tu vangs tasya yashas trisandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy three times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this verse is especially beloved of the devotees because Srila Prabhupada refers here, although not by name, to the attitude that he had and has toward his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada showed by his life's activities how he took this instruction from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to preach in English and to preach abroad, and he made it his life's mission. You know, do or die. You know, Prabhupada's wonderful activities of, you know, throwing caution to the wind, as it were, and simply taking full shelter of Krishna, getting on a boat to a strange country with no money and no friends in order to spread Krishna consciousness, which he recognized was an alien philosophy. It was, by all material calculations, his mission was impossible. And yet, it was the order of his spiritual master. And therefore, he took it as his life and soul. So here, this idea of Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi, we learn that in the Upadeshamrita, that one of the essential aspects of one's progress in devotional life is this nishtayat, utsaha nishtayat daryat. So enthusiasm and patience, which includes determination, and confidence that you know one will have success. Nishtayat. So that's this vavasayatmaka buddhi, and it has to be one-pointed. This idea of one-pointed. This comes up again and again. You know, yoga means really to become focused, you know, on the object of meditation, and to be determined to do everything in your power to deepen that absorption. That's the basic principle of any kind of yoga. So that holds for bhakti yoga as well. So the contrast here is between the one-pointed bhakti yogi who's fixed and has this key element of faith. Now, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is composed by, Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami. So the translation of this really starts at the beginning of the purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life called Vyavasayatmaka intelligence. So some devotees think faith, this means unflinching trust in something sublime. And that's certainly true, but it's more than that. The full translation of this verse is important to understand. Shraddha Shabde, this is a Bengali idiom for meaning the definition, you know, of Shraddha is Vishwas kohi sudhidham nishchoy. There you have this sudhidham, means very strong determination and confidence that what? The next line tells you what? Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma kutahoy. Just by performing the activities of Krishna consciousness, all my activities are complete. I don't have to do anything else. And this is that one pointedness. Now, this includes what we commonly call, what is known as the six elements of surrender. Which is what? Anukulena sankalpa. Sankalpa pratikulya savarjanam. Rakshisati divishraso. Goptutve varanantata. Atmanikshepa karpani shadvidha shadanagati. Shadanagati means having gone completely to the shelter of Krishna. Complete shelter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a whole song book called Shadanagati. So what are those six elements? They really comprise this faith. And have Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi, it begins with the surrender. So the first element is very, you know, kind of logical. To accept those things that are favorable for the practice of devotional service, despite the fact that they may be a little uncomfortable, you know, such as getting up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Who's doing that? For a non-selfish purpose. There are people, as I point out, in California, who get up that time to get on the road to commute for an hour and a half to go do their job. That's not what you're talking about here. This is the you know, accepting those things which may be uncomfortable, a kind of tapasya or austerity for devotional service. There are many, you know, getting up early, chanting the holy name, performing all kinds of activities in the temple, or one is living outside. You know, giving a portion of one's hard-earned wealth for the propagation of devotional service. These are all anukulyena. These are all favorable for devotional service. And then there's the other side, pratikulya savarjanam, giving up those things which are not favorable. The famous four regulative principles. Illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, you know, of all kinds. So, and there's a whole list. This is the famous rules and regulations. You know, Prabhupada gave his own meaning. You know, rules and regulations means the don'ts and the do's, or the do's and the don'ts, I think. Like four regs or don'ts, right? But there's also rules, what to do. Vidhi and nisheda. Vidhi are what you should do, and nisheda means is a prohibition. So then the next one. So you have accepting those things favorable for devotional service and giving up those things that are not favorable for devotional service. Now, in the process of doing that, one needs this faith, right? The whole idea is why does one need faith in something? Because you cannot perceive the object right away. You see, or you cannot perceive exactly how this path is going to take you to a desirable goal. But you have faith in the words of the higher authority, the words of the sacred book, the words of others who have been on the path. That gives you faith. You cannot directly perceive, but you have faith. You see. So the next one is, you know, rakshishatiti vishvaso. Faith that Krishna will protect. We see throughout history, throughout our great books of knowledge, you know, Bhagavad Purana, you know, how all the great devotees, they had that faith, unflinching, that Krishna will protect. The famous Pandavas, right, with Queen Kunti, they went through so many reverses, but never lost faith that Krishna would protect. Prahlad Maharaj, a little child in the hands of a usually powerful demon. And yet he never tried to take shelter of something else for protection. He simply took shelter of Krishna and he was protected. And then Gopritveva Nanantada, having full confidence that Krishna will provide, that God will provide for one's needs of life. As he promises in the ninth chapter, one who fixes his mind on me, ananyaschindiyantoma, yejanapayuparsade, and worships me in devotion, and it was always linked to me in devotion. I basically carry to him what necessities. That's what it means. I personally carry vahami. Krishna is saying, the yoga and the chema. Yoga in this context means all the things you need for your life, livelihood, and chema is security and welfare. You know. So, and then in the last two, so the having full faith that Krishna will protect and maintain, and then atmanikshepa karpanye, to have no interest separate from Krishna and to always remain meek and humble. You know, these are the six elements of sharanagati, or surrender. You know, and you can see we practice them. We may not be fully surrendered, but we're practicing that. You know, at least we know the standard, and we can see that our whole life, in you know, the full-time devotee life, is built around cultivating the attitude for these things, so that we can progress in devotional service. These six things open the door of the devotional service. This is not the completion. You know, the real bhakti is in that ladder, going up from shraddha to prema. There's a little overlap and confusion there, because the shraddha in that context is a little different from this shraddha. But anyway, real devotional service is ultimately engaging with pure love for Krishna and devotion, you know, in the higher realms. But to enter into the path and to progress on it, these six elements have to be there, and they require faith. You know, they require faith. So that full faith, that's vyavasaya atmaka buddhi. Now, to notice that he uses that word buddhi, remember we're discussing here the intelligence. And he introduced this phrase, this buddhi yoga, in the previous verse, text 39. So buddhi yoga, as we mentioned, is bhakti yoga, with the emphasis on the use of the intelligence, because that's the element that's so essential. You can do karma yoga without much, you know, involvement of the mind and the intelligence. You can work hard and give some of your hard-earned wealth to Krishna, and that's very good. But that's not going to give you the perfection of life. You have to come to the point of really using your intelligence to understand who you are and what you're doing, and to use your intelligence to remember Krishna while you're doing your activities. And ultimately to learn the processes of you know, real devotional service from the recognized authorities, and to practice those. It all involves intelligence. Where in our day does the intelligence not come to bear? The intelligence is always used. If the intelligence is, you know, if the mind or the brain becomes damaged due to anything, drugs or whatever, you know, and you can't focus your mind on something, then there's a verse like that in the Bhagavatam, is that it said that, you know, one is helpless before the material energy. The ability to focus the mind, this is mentioned later in this chapter, tasya pragya pratishtita, when it is fixed in intelligence, you know, it gives a formula for achieving that. This is necessary for practicing real yoga, you know, bhakti yoga especially, or any kind of yoga. So you know, the precious, you know, the whole idea is to bring the intelligence to bear and then make the intelligence strong and the memory strong through hearing, chiefly through hearing. You know, these transcendental words. So then he gives the contrast, bohu shaka yanantascha, endless branches through which the buddhi can travel when you're not fixed on Krishna. Do we need to, you know, elaborate on that point? Just think of all the things that one can think about, that we have thought about in our many lifetimes. Unlimited. And therefore, there are also unlimited subject matters dealing with all those things. In the beginning of Second Canto, this famous verse, Shota vyaji niraja indra ninang santi sahasrasha apushyatam atmatattvam griheshu gurmedinam. The word grihamedinam in this case means materialistic householders, but just say materialists in general, who are not at all interested in these subject matters. That is unlimited. There's unlimited subject matter. You can absorb your mind and have nothing to do with the soul, with God, with yoga, with anything. It's not a mystery. You know. But what that will do and what that has done in a previous life is keep the mind always agitated with ideas of how to, you know, maximize one's material pleasure and maximize one's material safety, bodily concept. So therefore, he says, "Buddha yo abhisayam." The buddhi, the intelligence that's not fixed in this way, is who knows where it goes? It goes everywhere, and at the end of this lifetime, that intelligence, that memory, that mind, you know, takes you to another body for another term of prison imprisonment. So the key is, and it's very nicely stated here, the intelligence. And here in this context of this culture, he's going to give two verses. What diverts the intelligence? For someone who is in the Vedic culture, forget about, you know, those who are outside. That's a foregone conclusion. But even within the one who is studying the Vedas, you can get bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas, promising you heavenly planets, good birth, this and that, this and that. So therefore, he's instructing Arjuna, who tried to bring to bear the Vedic knowledge for his desire to leave the battlefield. Remember the argument from the first chapter. So Krishna's cutting him off there. He said, no. You know, there's different parts of the Vedas. Don't be bewildered by these flowery words. You know, you'll come up in the next verse. But this purport is worth studying because there's this definition of faith. There's the introduction, you know, of the importance of the spiritual master, taking the spiritual master's words as one life and soul. And then, of course, this review of, you know, what we sing every morning, the Gurvashtaka. Just, you know, by the mercy of the spiritual master, which comes from following his instructions, one will get the mercy of Krishna, the grace. And without that, there's no means of advancement. So that's very important. Any questions or comments on this verse? Bhakta Ben.
Thank you. On the Guru Vashtaka, the mentions offering respect, one should meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day.
That's the third line here. Prabhupada's kind of expanded on it.
My question is, would that be the Gayatri mantra?
Yeah, he's referring there, I think, to the Gayatri. I mean, that's not, you know, that's the minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, we can pray every moment. It's not like only 3 times, you know. But there's a kind of a, because it says Trisandhya, you know, a Sandhya is a meeting, you know, what Sandhya means, you know, what. So you have the dawn and the noon and the twilight, you know, generally when you say Gayatri and you meditate on the spiritual master. Then.
And for non-initiated devotees, what would they, for those who don't chant?
Yeah, there's no restriction here. It's minimum.
So
you can do it out of the sanjas too.
For
no harm. Every time. Every moment.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on. Yamimam pushpitam bacham.
Yamimam pushpitam bacham.
Prabhadantya vipashchitaha.
Prabhadantya vipashchitaha.
Veda vadara thaparta.
Veda vadara thaparta.
Nanyarastiti vadinaha.
Nanyarastiti vadinaha.
kamatmana svargapara
kamatmana svargapara
janma karma palapradham kriya vishesha bhulam bhogaishwara gatim pati men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. Purport. People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portions of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available, and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishtoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices. And men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness. As fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, unenlightened men are similarly attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. In the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it is said, Apama somam amrita abhuma and akshayam hava chaturmasya yajinaha sukritam bhavati. In other words, those who perform the four-month penances become eligible to drink the soma rasa beverages to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have soma rasa to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratifications. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called the Nandanakanana, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic beautiful women and having a profuse supply of somaras wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to such material temporary happiness as lords of the material world. So, one of the greatest gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given us here is the accurate understanding of, you know, this essential book, the Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic books. Because what do we know? You know, we enter into this world completely ignorant, and therefore we are easily misled. I recall in my early days searching, you know, in 1969, 70, 71, and I lived in the Lower East Side, just a few blocks from the original temple. I would regularly go to Tompkins Square Park, place of pilgrimage. And I came to, you know, I saw the devotees, but I wasn't, didn't register at that time in my life. But I would regularly go to this bookstore. In New York at that time, there were only a few bookstores that you would call like today's spiritual bookstores or New Age bookstore. Even that term New Age wasn't happening then yet in 69, 70. And they had all kinds of books, and most of them were, I remember, you know, there was these Upanishads. There was a whole series of Upanishads that had been translated in these big green books. I forget what the name was. It was an academic printing, but they become popular, so they were available. There were books, a lot of books on Buddhism that had come in with Allen Ginsberg and some others in the mid-60s. So by the time I came along, there were a lot of that around. And there was a Bhagavad Gita. They're all very small. Nobody had any kind of elaborate commentary like this. Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses, so they were generally very thin. I don't remember seeing, you know, any Prabhupada's books there. There were only a few available at that time anyway. Anyway, it was just like, you know, you had no guide. And therefore, there's no way, really, that you're going to find out the real truth of, you know, how to progress nicely. And so inevitably you become misguided. Now, one of the famous books there was, which I did read, Be Here Now. Yeah, which is probably still in print. Mm-hmm. You know. Now, you know, there were some things in there. The Hare Krishna mantra was in there, and you know, the whole idea of mantra chanting. I finally, that was one of the things that got me going on that. But if that's all I had, and I didn't come in contact with the devotees, there's no way of getting this vivasyapaka buddhi. So that's the mirror image or the relative thing in modern age of what Krishna is talking about here. Even with the Vedas, just in terms of the Vedas, there's so many instructions that have nothing to do directly anyway, and oftentimes even indirectly, with pure devotional service. And Krishna refers to them here in this Pushpitam Vacham, very flowery words. Now, just for someone who's totally coming to this unknowledgeable, it comes, yes, you come to the Hare Krishna movement, and if you become serious and you surrender, then you get up early in the morning, you have only two sets of clothes. When I was a brahmacari, we had no of our own clothes. We had a collective bin that you pulled out your dhoti and your kurta. Sometimes there's no towels, I would use the kurta as a towel. And then you go on like that, Whereas this other group, here you go, you practice yoga, and you'll be chanting these mantras. And look, this mantra will give you all wealth. I remember going, the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo people, they're still around, right? We had a devotee, Divya Gyan, was a part of that group. I don't know if you remember Divya Gyan?
I know the name.
The name, yeah, Namra. Anyway, he was part of that. And my goodness, there's all these testimonials. I remember going, I was in New York, everything's in New York. And I was met on the street, somebody, invited me up. I was doing some kind of yoga, so I had that kind of yoga look. Maybe I had a shirt that said Om on it, I don't know. And they come on up, we're having a meeting of this group, I forget what they call it. And I went up there, it was this nice apartment in New York, in Upper East Side, I think. And there were a group of people, they just finished chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, I don't know how long, maybe for an hour, who knows how long. And then they gave the testimonials. And one after the other says, yeah, I started chanting and my business took off and I got this Cadillac. I remember there was one guy who was blind. He wanted to become a pharmacist, very difficult. He did it. He was chanted Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and got this pharmacy. Now, by Krishna's blessing, the whole thing didn't appeal to me. Because I was already kind of a hippie, I'd already kind of renounced, at least externally at that time, the trappings of material success. So that didn't, thank God, it didn't appeal to me. But it's just like that. Come to this process. What is that book that became famous and is still going on? This process of just thinking about it, thinking positively and you become wealthy?
Power
of what?
No.
Now. Power of? Anyway, you probably know.
The secret?
Yeah, the secret. The secret. The secret.
Manifesting.
Just manifest. Just
positive.
I mean, who knows? What a misguidance, What are you going to manifest? Something that's material that you want materially, and you can't get it. I don't know. So that's the relative, and it's all over the place now. Flowery words of our Vedas, Veda mean knowledge in the great, that promise you some material gain. But that's a misguidance. It's a con game. This is what Maya does. The greatest con artist is Maya herself. Confidence. We're talking about faith. Con means confidence. Everyone has complete confidence that they are the body, and that the interests of the body are my interests. And that con game goes on and on and on. But you keep losing. Every time you die, you just lost. And the next birth, you try again. And you become completely conned into it by your parents, by your teachers, by everyone else, blind leading the blind. You see? So who's going to give you the truth? Who's going to give you the actual path for your ultimate benefit? This word, swartha, or we're dealing a little differently, with the word shreya. Arjuna says at the beginning, we're memorizing this verse, Alec isn't here, we're starting to cultivate some shlokas for him. Right at the beginning, this whole idea of shreya, of the soul, the ultimate good. He confesses to Krishna, You know, in the proper attitude of the disciple to the guru. Karpa nidosho bahata sabhava prichamitram dharma samuda cheta. In his own specific circumstance, he's overcome by miserly weakness, which is the end for a kshatriya. Kshatriya has to be completely confident, but he doesn't have that confidence. He's so unsure of himself, so overcome by this existential problem, that he's dropped his bow. When a kshatriya drops his bow, he's finished. You know, so he's dropped his bow, and he's trembling, and he's crying, and he's sweating, and he's complete anxiety. So he's in trouble. And the reason is dharma samudha cheta, that his consciousness is bewildered about what real dharma is. For those who are truly steeped in the Vedic culture, who are Aryans, dharma is everything. To act adharmically is worse than death. But you have to know what real dharma is. What's the right thing to do in this circumstance for my ultimate benefit and the ultimate benefit of everyone? That's the question that real Aryans ask. So he didn't know. He tried to figure it out on his own, right? He gave all these arguments why he should leave the battlefield, why he didn't want to fight the battle. But now, with great wisdom, he's admitting, I have no idea. So what's he going to do? Just give up? No, he approaches the man of knowledge, in this case not a man, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, that yakshe yaksyan nishtitam bruhitam me. Here's the word Shreya. You please tell me what is my ultimate good and how to achieve it. That's really the basic question you ask to the spiritual master. What is the ultimate good? What is my sadhya as a soul? What is my real goal as a soul? And what is the sadhana to achieve it? Sadhana and dharma are closely aligned. Dharma is a set of rules to achieve the goal. It's religion. You know. So, yakshreyaksya nishtitam bruhitam me. It's a nishtitam. It's similar to this vevasayatmaka buddhi. It means certainly. It means ascertain. Yakshreyatam nishtitam bruhitam. Shishyasteham. I'm your shishya now. I'm your disciple. I'm no longer your peer. I'm no longer acting as your friend or what to speak of, your master. You know, the chariot, the warrior is the master of the charioteer. You know, that was the role that Krishna agreed to be his servant. Pretty amazingly, when you think about it. But he says, I don't want that role anymore. We're not getting anywhere. We're not getting it. We're arguing back and forth, and I'm not coming to a conclusion here. He says, I don't see any way to drive away my shoka, my lamentation. That was one of the verses he spoke at the beginning of this chapter. I don't see any way. So what's the solution? Just give up? No. I am approaching you. So you please, I'm your shishyas, shram papannam. But papanna is equivalent to sharanagati. I'm taking shelter of you, I completely surrender to you. So with that attitude, you can navigate the dangerous shoals of these false philosophies and false shastras, scriptures, that are also there even in the Vedas. And so Krishna is giving us, two verses here. But we can be guided by Krishna himself through the medium of his pure devotee, and we can be sure that if we stick closely to these words of not being misguided, we can get that vivasayatmaka buddhi. Because we know that it's wrong to desire. The motivation is for what is it? Janma karma palapradam, for good birth, for wonderful activity, the fruits of karmic activity, life in heaven, all of this stuff is just, we know it's just a sky flower. It's just not worth it. Now, how can we stay clear on that? By practicing sadhana bhakti and by getting a taste for Krishna consciousness. Once you've tasted, we don't realize what a great treasure it is. The whole idea of liberation and mukti, who really here really thinks about that much? I don't. I'm not thinking, oh, am I going to be liberated? Am I going to get free of birth and death? Really, you don't think about that, because you're getting day by day, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're getting something even more valuable than mukti. Mukti is already taken care of. But even a little drop of bhakti, even a little taste, a little shadow of it, makes mukti fly away, the desire for mukti. People are spending lifetimes, severe austerities, trying to withdraw the mind from matter you know, so that you can get free of the bonds of birth and death. That's part of our philosophy, but it's small. You know, it's small. The real motivation for the bhakti is Krishna, pure love for Krishna, that loving exchange. Everything else is taken care of. That's the shraddha. So don't, you know, this is, and then this last phrase, bhoga shraya gatim pati, that's the key. You know, everything is condensed in there. Bhoga and aishwarya. Bhoga is the enjoyment. Aishwarya is the wealth for the means of enjoyment. That's the whole motivation for the whole world. Gatim, for that goal, for that, you know, people are sacrificing, you know, so much, and they're doing these sacrifices, you know, sacrificing on this plane and performing elaborate sacrifices, all these mantras, worshipping this god, that god, this goddess, that goddess, so that they can enjoy for a while. You still got to come back down when it's done. It's material. So we'll learn in the next verse, which is very instructive. We can go on to the next verse. Another key verse. Well, not to be bewildered, not to stay on this path of Vyavasayatmakabuddhi. Any questions on these flowery words of the Vedas? Also, one phrase worth remembering, Veda Vada Rata, this comes up again in the Isha Upanishad, in the purport, probably referred. The so-called knowers of the Vedas, very important. So many purport to, you know, as Prabhupada is always mentioning periodically in these pages, to purport to be followers of the Bhagavad Gita, to be basing their philosophy on the Gita, you know, to teach it, but they're Veda Vada Rata, so-called knowers. They really don't know the goal of the Vedas and of Vedic knowledge, which is Krishna, says right in the 15th chapter. And therefore, they become cheaters for their followers. But we're very fortunate if we stay on the straight and narrow, we can't be cheated. Okay, let's go on. The next verse follows right from the last line of the last verse.
Sorry, what chapter are we in?
We are in chapter 2. Text 44. I'm sorry, I thought you were with it.
I was with you, but then you had gone back to 39.
I was referring. Yeah, we just went, did 42, 43, now we're on 44. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam.
Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam.
Taya parita chetasam.
Taya parita chetasam.
Vyavasayatmaka buddhi. Samadhao navadhiyate.
Samadhao navadhiyate.
In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says, Samyag adiyate smin atma tattva yatatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyments and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. So this is a very short but potent purport here. That's the end of the purport. So let's go through again. Here again this phrase, bhoga aishwarya. You know, this is a very nice combination. Bhoga, again, is the enjoyment, and aishwarya is the wealth or opulence that buys the enjoyment. Now it's worth recalling the four goals of human life that are described. You know, you ever hear this phrase, dharma, artha, kama, moksha? This is another one of these little phrases that's worth memorizing. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha are known as the four purusharthas, goals of human life. Of course, the fifth goal is one we're after, which is prema. But generally, people don't understand that. So dharma in this context is what Prabhupada called religiosity. All kinds of dharmas, by which you get artha. Whenever I think of this, I always think of the Puritan ethic. I don't know if you've ever learned about that. You know, Puritan ethic is the Puritans were the early settlers in America, 1600s and everything. Very religious, you know, very austere. They had to be. You know, they're coming to this new world, fighting off the Indians, the winters, all this thing. So they had, you know, what sustained them? Well, they had faith. You know. But it was faith of this kind: is that, you know, if we persevere and we're very good churchgoers and we follow these principles, you know, then we'll prosper here in America. And that was what they did. You know, there were all kinds of other things going on, but that was what sustained them in the dark time. And so that's a materialistic view of religion. Religion is is good because it gives us the blessings of the Lord, which we can see in our peace and prosperity, you know. And then, of course, if we don't have prosperity, it means we're not good Christians, you know. Just turn it around. I mean, the thing is, Jesus himself was a beggar, right? He wasn't into material opulence. But anyway, that's Dharma Artha. That's the religiosity spoken of in the Gita here as the karma kanda section of the verse. Let me worship Ganesh, let me worship Kali, let me worship this one, that one, so that my business will prosper. You know, so my child will get into college, da 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 da. You know, material. So then, but if you're actually religious, and there are always these principles, you know, of moral restraint and all of these things and regularity, then you may, you know, actually get prosperity. So dharma for artha, dharma for artha. You see that? And artha, why artha? Artha in this context means money. For kama, for sense gratification. Gross and subtle. It doesn't mean you may be going to some concert in the Lincoln Center, or you may just be, you know, sitting down in the street and drinking wine, but it's still artha. Yeah, I mean, still kama. It's still material desire in the broader sense. So this is, most people are involved in those. And more or less today, there's not much dharma going on, especially in Western. Our faith, you know, of this has been placed in technology. You know, if we work hard, we figure things out, you know, in the university and all, and you know, we'll figure out how to manipulate material energy, the computers, the whole thing. That's where the people's faith is, mostly. They run to God for some, you know, to with the difficulties, you know, to overcome. But for getting bhoga and aishwarya, you go to technology. You see? So basically you're bound to the middle two. Artha kama, artha kama, artha kama. You see? This is the thing. And then, if you're a little bit knowledgeable, comes moksha. Because if you understand, there's no percentage in this. You know, I may get a little money, may not, but I'm going to die and come back again, birth and death. Birth. So let me get free from this, moksha, mukti. So, but here, this dealing with bhoga and aishwarya, if one is too attached, prasakta, isn't it? Pra, whenever you see pra, it always means an intensifier, okay? So asakta, or sakta means attachment. Prasakta means very attached. Very attached to bhoga and aishwarya. That's the whole world outside it. Then, and by that, aparita chetasam, your cheta, your intelligence, has been stolen away, completely enchanted by that. Then forget about vivasyatmaka buddhi. You know, you're simply going to be whipped around by the material energy. Here's this thing to enjoy. Here's this thing to be afraid of. You know, here's this thing to enjoy. Here's this thing to fear and become angry at. You know, karma krodha, it goes on. That's called avyavasayatmaka buddhi. There you cannot get samadhi. You cannot get that fixed notion. So we're going to learn in a few verses where Krishna describes the process of getting fixed intelligence, which is mentioned here. And, the, you know, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partaman ogatan. Atmaneva madatushta stitta pragya. Stitta pragya is this vivasayatmaka. Prajahati, pra, here's the pra again. Prajahati, completely rejecting those material desires that arise from the mind. The mind's always coming up with, you know, newer and newer things to enjoy, right? Either from stimuli from outside or from some memory from before. Right, that's always coming, bubbling up. So completely rejecting them. How can you do that? Atmanevapana tushta, by being satisfied in the self and in Krishna. You know, so that will come up. How to attain this vivasayatmaka buddhi? How to weaken the attachment, the mad obsession for bhoga and aishwarya? How? By Krishna consciousness. That's the magic of the chanting of the holy name. By the holy name of Krishna, you come in touch with the all-attractive thing. That he alone can draw your mind and your heart away from matter, from the absorption of matter. And that's why that's the yoga for the age. It's the dharma for the age. Yuga dharma is the chanting of the holy name. Because there's no way in the world we're going to sit there, you know, in a forest somewhere and drill a respiration and really succeed. You may do it for an half hour in a yoga studio, but to do it for days and days and then years on end, forget it. It's not for us. This process, chanting and dancing and immersing ourselves in the holy name, is the quick elevator You know, that we actually have a hope of achieving the samadhi, you know, real absorption in Krishna consciousness. Okay, any final questions or comments? Bhakta Ben.
Just a point. I've heard Atma Tattva before.
What? Atma Tattva?
Yeah. The
truth of the self?
Okay, that's what it means.
Atma Tattva means, you know, learning all of what's the soul. It can also mean what is the super soul. Yes, tattva means truth. More than truth in the ordinary, it means, you know, like we call it the absolute truth. You know, it's an entity. It also means the truth. So atma tattva means the truth of the soul, the science of the soul, you know, that leads one to the supreme truth, absolute truth. Sure. Questions, comments? Thank you for coming. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.